From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting in Israel, a presidential news conference.
Welcome, a very warm welcome to Israel.
The Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, welcomes U.S. President Donald Trump earlier today. Mr. Trump was greeted with all the ceremony and significant pomp on this trip, making him the first U.S. president to visit Israel on his first trip overseas. A while later, President Trump held a news conference with President Reuven Rivlin of Israel.
It was really a coming together. And now today being in Israel is just very, very special for us. So we expect to have some very interesting talks.
The U.S. president held forth on a number of issues, including Iran.
The United States and Israel can declare with one voice that Iran must never be allowed to possess a nuclear weapon, never, ever, and must cease its deadly funding, training, and equipping of terrorists and militias. And it must cease immediately.
Of course, in the forefront, the idea of Middle East peace, especially between Israel and the Palestinians.
You have a great opportunity right now. There's a great feeling for peace throughout the Middle East. I think people have just had enough. They've had enough of the bloodshed and the killing. And I think you're going to see things starting to happen.
VOA asked Middle East scholar Michael Fischbach of Randolph-Macon College if President Trump can reach that goal.
No matter what the different leaders say to him or try to sweet talk him, or however much he may in fact personally be committed to this deal, President Trump has already seen that governing a country and playing the role of world statesman is quite different than making deals in the business world. And I don't think he really yet appreciates just how difficult peacemaking between Israel and the Palestinians will be.
This is VOA News. In Tehran, newly elected Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said Iran wants terrorism uprooted in the Middle East and says it is ready for interaction with its neighbors to restore peace in the region. Officials in Thailand say a bomb blast in the capital has wounded at least 24 people. Authorities say the explosion at a military hospital in Bangkok on Monday happened on the third anniversary of a military coup. The remains of batteries and wires were found at the scene of the explosion. No immediate claim of responsibility for the blast, nor was it clear if the explosion was connected to the 2014 military coup that overthrew a democratically elected government. The United Nations Security Council plans to have an emergency meeting Tuesday in response to North Korea's latest ballistic missile test. North Korea has conducted missile tests at an unprecedented pace. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson reacted to Sunday's launch.
We're early in the stages of applying the economic pressure as well as the diplomatic pressure to the regime in North Korea. Hopefully, they will get the message that the pathway of continuing their nuclear arms program is not a pathway to security or certainly prosperity.
Pyongyang launched a missile in a high-altitude ballistic path a week ago. More than 220 people, including at least 26 former generals, have gone on trial in Turkey, accused of instigating last July's failed military coup. Turkey accuses U.S.-based cleric Fethullah Gulen of fomenting the July 15, 2016 uprising that left more than 260 people dead. Gulen has denied involvement. On Sunday, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan formally extended the state of emergency declared after a failed 2016 military coup, saying the decree will remain in place until the country finds welfare and peace. Erdogan spoke Sunday in Ankara to tens of thousands of his followers and members of his ruling AK Justice and Development Party. The last of hundreds of rebels and their families have left the Syrian city of Homs under an evacuation deal with Damascus. It had been in rebel hands since the beginning of the Syrian conflict in 2011, but analyst Amin Saikal of Australian National University tells VOA the country has been devastated.
Most of Syria is really destroyed, and even if Mr. Assad succeed in establishing control over the entire territory, then the question would be who's going to rebuild the Syria, and in what ways the Assad regime would be able to establish effective governance across the country.
In the meantime, twin blasts claimed by Islamic State killed several insurgents of the group Ahrar al-Sham in Idlib province. This is Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.